Set. I'm going to ask our marshal to call the next case for consideration.
Case number A220068, in the matter of issuance of air emissions permit number 13700345-101 for Polymet Mining, Inc.
I assume that individual was directed downstairs also. Thank you. This is Relator's appeal concerning the air emissions matter that has been ongoing. The panel has previously been introduced. I want to remind you that you each have 15 minutes for presentation of your case. It is determined that the PCA, as well as the Center for Environmental Advocacy, will split their time 7.5 each. At this point in time, I want to remind you that you should state your name and which party you're speaking on behalf of before making your arguments. If you have any question at all for the court in terms of how we are going to proceed today, please let me know. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm trying to keep on top of what's going on. Relators Council, when you are ready to proceed, you can approach and introduce yourself and begin your argument.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jay Eidsness. I represent the relators in this matter, the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness, and the Sierra Club. Now, 2 months ago, in the Polymet water permit case, the Minnesota Supreme Court reprimanded and reversed the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency for ignoring evidence and gutting the administrative record of relevant information to its permitting decision.
How is that relevant to the issue before us in this case involving a different permit, different permitting process?
So this case involves the same party in the water permit, the Pollution Control Agency. And the allegations that we raise in this case, Your Honor, are that PCA has deliberately and continuously ignored evidence this court has twice deemed probative, has ignored evidence this court considered specific and substantiated about whether Polymet applied for the correct permit.
Well, but didn't the Supreme Court make it very clear to this court that there is no, that your arguments don't encompass any requirement of prospective investigation by the MPCA as to whether Polymet has in fact requested the right permit? Isn't that off the table for us at this point?
Well, the Supreme Court, Your Honor, said that there is no federal obligation under the Clean Air Act to investigate sham permitting prospectively. But the Supreme Court said, you know, there may be state rules or state law that is relevant to the question. And here we are faced with a state rule that requires PCA to be assured that Polymet has been truthful, has not been misleading or otherwise withheld evidence relevant to its permitting decision. And so in, you know, many instances, that rule may not trigger an investigation, but it certainly does here, where we have sent evidence to PCA on multiple occasions before it made its permitting decisions that challenged the veracity of Polymet's statements in its application and the intent to comply with the synthetic miner permit. And in both instances, we gave that information to PCA before it made its permit decision. In both times, PCA took that evidence and ignored it. In the first instance, it didn't even put it in the administrative record, and it said nothing in its findings of fact related to whether or not the accelerated mining scenarios depicted in the technical report were speculative, were relevant, or otherwise germane to the question before it.
Which is why this court remanded to the MPCA to do it, and now we have a much more robust order, do we not, with many fact findings, including on the issue of Polymet's truthfulness.
Well, Your Honor, the question that you sent back to PCA was whether or not it needed to engage in additional inquiry to drive at the question as to whether or not Polymet had been truthful or otherwise misleading. And so when that permit decision was back on MPCA's desk, we submitted more information to the Pollution Control Agency that not only called into question whether Polymet had been truthful, but it undermined the evidence, it undermined the conclusion that PCA reached the first time around, that the accelerated mining scenarios in the technical report were speculative. And so the basis for that speculative conclusion was that the mineral resources available to PolyMet were uncertain. To use the technical term, they were indicated and inferred. And so those denote the lowest level of confidence.
Missing on the remand, because my reading of the decision that you're now appealing was simply that they did consider all of this. I mean, we can't tell them how far to continue looking if they're saying that there is not evidence of what you're saying were lies on behalf of PolyMet. I mean, we can't say, yes, they did. I mean, we don't, if there's no evidence, there's no evidence. How far does PCA have to go in order to satisfy a concern that there is some misconduct going on?
So, Your Honor, when there is probative evidence that an applicant has been untruthful or perhaps misleading.
But what was the probative evidence?
So this court twice considered that technical report I mentioned that showed the accelerated mining scenarios. It said that information was probative to whether PolyMet applied for the correct permit. And so on remand, this court explained that that evidence was specific and substantiated. And it said, PCA, you know, investigate this, take a look at this, engage in your normal permitting practice to understand whether or not this information conflicts with your obligation to ensure the applicant has been truthful.
So really what you're arguing is that they didn't exercise enough due diligence in going back and taking a look at the allegation.
That's one way to put it, Your Honor. And in fact, what PCA did is they invented a presumption of transparency and fair dealing that they say justifies its decision to issue this permit. A presumption is not substantial evidence. A presumption is not taking a hard look at the critical issues in this case. A presumption is a danger signal that the agency is acting in an arbitrary and capricious manner and is unwilling to confront evidence that challenges its conclusions.
But did the PCA really rely on the presumption? I mean, the findings go on for quite some time after the initial paragraph. I think it's paragraph 108 that sets forth the PCA's view that there is a presumption. So did the existence of the presumption, assuming we agree that this presumption exists, did it really even affect the final determination or the findings that ended up in the permit?
Well, so when confronted with this evidence, Your Honor, PolyMet did not engage in its normal permitting practice, which the agency explains is back and forth, ask questions of the applicant, you know, looks behind the four corners of the application when there is evidence that challenges the statements and aversions that's made in that application. And PCA says this in their findings. They detail what that practice looks like. And PCA did not follow that with respect to whether or not PolyMet had been truthful as to its expanded or accelerated mining scenarios, its current intent to expand.
The potential expansion, PCA said was not relevant as far as their consideration here. I mean, how can you say at any time that we may grow, we may do more, if you don't have something to counter that? I mean, everybody wants to do more and be bigger and be better, but what is the evidence other than the fact that at some point, maybe, they would expand? I mean, that's just an allegation.
So, Your Honor, this case is different than the abstract business that wants to get bigger. You know, businesses tend to go into business to make money. So, of course, the idea that we will get bigger, have more profits, is something that most, if not all, businesses are thinking. But that is not this case. Here we have the precise roadmap for how PolyMet wants to make more money. And before, when it addressed those accelerated mining scenarios, the PCA said, well, that's too speculative because those mineral resources are unavailable. You know, there's disclaimers in this securities document that doesn't give us any concern that, you know, they have been mistruthful or otherwise deceptive.
So what's the check on that? I mean, don't they have to start all over in the process and repetition if there ever is any expansion?
So if PolyMet gets its synthetic miner permit and operates and then at some point says, you know, we want to turn on these extra crushing machines that, you know, mind you, are right there. This isn't something that PolyMet would need to construct. They're available to them at the facility. They're taking over an existing site. The infrastructure is already there. So they wouldn't need to engage in a, you know, new build-out or anything of that nature. But so there would be an amendment process, and they would have to apply for a major source permit, which would require additional scrutiny and review by the permitting agency. But that is not enough to assuage the concerns here.
Well, it sounds like you're making the compliance argument that I thought you were no longer advancing at this point in this appeal, because there's 1,000 conditions that are in place as part of the permit. Am I wrong about that? I thought the only issue here was the second regulation, at the untruthfulness, the failure to fully disclose.
Correct. We are not arguing that, consistent with the rule that the stationary source must comply with the permit. You know, we do not believe that if PolyMet gets the permit, it will immediately violate from day one. You know, this is something that PolyMet says, you know, given the accelerating mining scenarios, the potential to make more profits, you know, their current intent, the evidence suggests, is to get bigger, is to actually operate as a major source after permitting. And so if there is that evidence in the record, if there is more than just speculation, then the agency has an obligation to probe that evidence, to engage as it does with other evidence that's submitted, ask questions, engage in a back and forth to see if there's anything there.
So
and PCA just simply hasn't done
that. Is your best argument that the decision not to start afresh on remand rather than just issue additional findings was arbitrary and capricious given the additional information you provided, like the 2019 drilling announcement?
So there's a couple issues with that. So PCA, you know, they said we're not going to look at this because it predates our decision. We're really going to go back in time and only look at information that we had available when we made our first permit decision in 2018. And that is PCA's decision. They're under no obligation to cabin their review in that manner.
Wasn't that what we told them to do on remand?
You gave them options. You said, you know, maybe there's enough here for you to go back and bolster your decision. But you have an additional question. You have to ask yourself, is additional inquiry necessary to resolve the questions under state law? And, you know, going back to your question, Your Honor, when a court remands a permitting decision, you know, generally there's two pathways that they can take. You know, they can bolster their statements they made earlier, bolster their decisions, but there's an important check on that. And they cannot offer new justifications to support the earlier decision. And the reason for that is we don't want agencies to, you know, get a second bite at the apple. You know, we have a prohibition against post hoc rationalizations. And in this instance, PCA made no findings in 2018 about the expanded mining scenarios in the technical report.
Right, and we told them they failed to consider pertinent documents, and we remanded to make sure that there would be reasoned decision-making.
Correct.
And we said we've not concluded that the record could not support a reasoned decision by the agency to issue a permit. We've simply determined the agency did not make such a reasoned decision. So in effect, we remanded and said, show us your work and make sure you look at these other things that you had available to you, in fact, were aware of in 2018 before you issued the permit. Seems to me that the MPCA did what we asked them to do.
So PCA took a look at that technical report. And in addition to the presumption of transparency, they explained, you know, why they thought those accelerated mining scenarios were too speculative. But so we provided information to PCA on remand before it made its second decision, just like we did originally in 2018, that challenged the conclusion that those mining scenarios were speculative. And that was the 2019 drilling records that showed there are more resources available to PolyMet, that it can mine quicker and make more money. And that goes directly to the heart as to PolyMet's current intent to expand. And rather than engage with that evidence, PolyMet says we're not going to consider it, we're going to rely on this presumption of transparency and fair dealing, and we're going to issue this permit.
The coalition has asked this court to supplement the record with 4 documents, and that's argued in your brief. And my question is this, if we would agree that you've met the white factors and the documents are submitted, are we considering them, or are we remanding again to say, PCA, you got to look at this stuff now? I mean, where does that play out?
I think you can look at your earlier opinions in this case as a precise roadmap for how this should be addressed. So in those instances, the same issues played out here. You know, we provided that information to PCA. That would be the technical report. PCA said, nope, we're not going to look at this. In our merits brief, we moved to supplement with the technical report. And this court accepted that motion, considered the technical report as probative evidence of whether PolyMet was entitled to the synthetic miner permit. And so it sent the decision back to PCA to make a revised finding with that information, considering that new information. So I would say you follow the same road that you took earlier.
But the difference, it seems to me, is that on the first remand, we said, you know, you had this information because it was before you issued the permit. Now you're asking, or you're criticizing the MPCA for not investigating information that became available after the December of 2021 or 2018 decision. That seems to be a different scenario.
Well, so you have to evaluate PCA's conduct when it made that decision. So it decided we're not going to look at this information. We're going to put blinders up and only consider evidence available to us in 2018.
Doesn't that create fluidity? Whenever you send something back, there's other things that have happened, and you don't continue to look at the new things that may have occurred. I mean, you go back to the time of the application, right?
Well, so certiorari appeals are on the record, and there is a process for bringing new information to the agency's attention. And I want to stress, this information was given to PCA before it made its decision, and it chose to ignore it.
Well, not before it made its December 2018 decision.
Correct.
And that's the issue that's before us. That's what we had remanded and said, show your work when you decided in 2018, December of 2018, show your work. Explain your reasoning.
So when PCA made its decision in 2018, it had the technical report, it ignored it. And later, when forced to, it said it's too speculative, and it gave reasons for why it's speculative. And on remand, we provided more information that undermined that conclusion that the technical report was speculative. And so we should expect our agencies to engage in a transparent, accountable process where evidence that directly challenges a permittee's entitlement to a pollution permit is carefully scrutinized. And so this isn't evidence that, you know, is relevant to the permitting decision about a different issue or, you know, information that has a tangential basis to the decision. This directly challenges the reason that that PCA said, these expanded scenarios were too speculative, and we're not going to consider them.
Thank you. Relator Coalition will have an additional 5 minutes after we hear from Respondent Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Emily Schilling on behalf of Respondent Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. The issues on appeal in this case are narrow, specifically whether PCA's supplemental findings in support of its 2018 decision to issue an air emissions permit to PolyMet under Rule 7007-1000 are adequately explained and reasonable based on the record as a whole. This court should uphold PCA's finding under MAPPA's deferential, substantial evidence standard and reject relator's attempt to relitigate its position that PCA should have further investigated PolyMet's intent prior to permit issuance.
Why can't we look at the decision not to start afresh on remand and determine whether or not that's arbitrary and capricious? Why are you framing the issue as substantial evidence for the findings that were made under the two subparts that the Supreme Court narrowed the focus to?
PolyMet 3, which is this court's decision on remand, carefully framed this question as a substantial evidence test. So it asked, as Judge Bjorkman said, for the agency to go back, carefully review the documents before it, and make findings. Certainly the agency had a choice, but the decision to not start afresh is due deference, and I would say that that decision itself is properly framed under the substantial evidence test.
But are you saying we can't look at whether or not the decision not to start afresh was arbitrary and capricious?
No, I mean, I think that the court has the ability to do that, but I think with respect to reviewing the agency's judgment on the factual findings before it, it's clearly a substantial evidence test.
To what extent does the Supreme Court's decision from August 2nd of this year inform our assessment of whether the MPCA acted in an arbitrary manner by not taking a fresh look?
That's a fair question. The water case may involve PolyMet, and it may involve a decision by PCA with respect to a permit, but the similarities end there. This is a different case on a different record under state permitting rules, and both at the Supreme Court level in this case and the case on remand, there were never any indications of procedural irregularities or danger signals, any danger signal, much less a combination of danger signals that would indicate that the agency didn't take a hard look at the findings that were before it. Again, this is a much more limited review, and so our position is that that case doesn't have any implication with respect to this court's review.
I understand it's a different permit, but it's a permitting process that was occurring at the same time as this permitting process.
Certainly.
Was taking place. And I don't know, it just strikes me that, you know, whether you call, whether you refer to, you know, the Canadian parents' technical report from 2018 as a danger signal or the failure to talk about it in the MPCA decision to issue the permit, I'm troubled that the reason there is no record is that we didn't have a court directing that a record be prepared as we did in the water permit case.
To be clear about the water permit case, that involved a failure by the agency to make a record with respect to a specific set of circumstances that are limited, which was essentially EPA's comments on the record. There was no indication here of procedural irregularities. Certainly when the court remanded to address these specific state law findings, it was doing so in the context not of the record as a whole, but a failure to explain the findings. The technical report was in the record below. It was discussed in December 2018 correspondence from MPCA to MCEA. The distinction was that it wasn't fully discussed in the actual findings of fact and conclusions of law. It was in the record. So I think it's is inappropriate to argue that the agency didn't look at the technical report or those speculative expansion scenarios below. It was just that they didn't discuss it in the findings of fact and conclusions of law under the 7,007-1,000 factors that are at issue here.
I understand you taking the position that the record should not be supplemented to include the 2019 drilling announcement that counsel has argued indicates that the report from 2018 actually wasn't speculative. I understand, obviously, it's after the permit was issued, and that's part of the basis. But what if the evidence that came to light in 2019 were more like Pebble Mine, the other example that appellants raise, and it's a recording of PolyMet saying, you know, we never intended to operate this as a synthetic minor source. We've always intended to immediately try to expand. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly probative evidence that they misled PCA. Would PCA still take the position that the record should not be supplemented just because that information came to light after the permit was issued?
Your Honor, if that were in fact the case and MPCA had evidence of affirmative deception at the time that the permit was issued, it would go beyond that. It would reopen the permit and review. I think that that's an important distinction. That's simply not the case here. There isn't any evidence that the permittee misled the agency. And indeed, I think it's important to point out that all the way through the permitting process, this was a two-year permitting process. The agency worked every day with PolyMet to develop a permit at the 32,000 ton per day threshold. There was never any indication during the permit process, and the fact that at some point in the future the applicant might decide to expand was reviewed, but was not a basis for an affirmative decision that PolyMet was misleading the agency at the time of permit permit development. And indeed, the permit term is 5 years. We are coming up on 5 years in December. There's no indication that over this 5-year period that the that PolyMet is going to expand. So it's a difficult situation 5 years later for the agency to be looking back at a decision made in 2018 and assessing whether some material post-decisionally might support what was speculative expansion plans at the time of permit issuance, when all the other facts would indicate that they're not going to expand. They haven't come back to the agency. And in fact, their renewal permit, which is due 6 months before permit expiration, indicates the same, which is the 32,000 ton per day throughput.
May I ask one question?
You're over your time, but yes. We're going to ask a few questions. Thank you.
Just have one question, and that has to do with the presumption. Mm-hmm. Later's counsel makes a good point that MPCA expressly stated that there's a presumption of transparency and fair dealing. What impact does that have? I mean, if we disagree with the agency's reading of the rules and say there is no such presumption, wouldn't we be in a position of having to remand yet again to say, take away any presumption and make findings? Why wouldn't we have to do that here?
No, Your Honor, because there was one reference in a 17-page document that referenced the fact that the rules on which the agency bases its decisions, there's sort of a natural presumption. It is not an irrebuttable presumption, and I think that's important because relators focus on that it's unimpeachable evidence in their briefs or that it's an irrebuttable presumption. That is not the case, and the agency did not treat it as such. They carefully reviewed the documents that were before them and determined ultimately that that presumption wasn't rebutted in this case based on the facts before it. So no, it wasn't relied on as the only factor in which the agency was making its decision.
Thank you, Ms. Schilling.
Thank you.
We'll hear from PolyMet.
Morning. May it please the court, Jay Johnson for PolyMet Mining. I'll start with the bottom line. PolyMet does not intend to mine more than its permit allows, 32,000 tons of ore per day. Now, why do the relators think otherwise? Mainly, they've taken 10 pages out of a 250-page technical report as evidence that there's some secret plan to make the mine bigger. But the fundamental point of that technical report and the subject of the other 240 pages is the feasibility of mining 32,000 tons per day. That study, based on its feasibility, says PolyMet's focus and intention is to build and operate a 32,000 tons per day mine that it has now spent the last 15 years trying to permit and litigate. MPCA reviewed the report along with the other evidence that relators submitted, and it reached the same conclusion. PolyMet intends to build and operate a 32,000 tons per day mine. The court remanded this case to PCA for a clearer explanation of why it reached that conclusion, and that explanation is now before the court. It shows that MPCA made its decision based on substantial evidence, and its reasoning is now crystal clear. That's why PCA's permitting decision should be affirmed. I welcome questions. If there are none.
The 2019, I mean, the information that's presented to us by way of the motion to supplement the record seems to be relevant to the issue of, you know, failure to disclose, knowingly submitting false or misleading information. To the extent that we consider that, it seems to me that's pretty probative evidence of PolyMet's intentions with respect to this operation. Why am I wrong about that?
Well, I'd start with The decision at issue here is the 2018 December decision permitting. The evidence in support of that has to have come before the decision was made. Now, if the court were to look at the post-decisional evidence, I think it's not right to say that this announcement of additional mining resources is especially probative to PolyMet's intent. Everyone has always known that there's more ore under the ground at the North Met project site. It's not a secret, it's always been public. PolyMet is doing its job as a company, is continuing to explore and trying to understand things better. But there's a far distance between having some better sense of what minerals might be buried hundreds of feet under the ground and developing a plan to actually extract those minerals, much less permitting the plan, doing the environmental review. All of those things would have to happen before PolyMet could even start to expand its project. So that's why I think the technical report is clear that expansion is speculative, not reasonably foreseeable or current intent, as the other side likes
to put. But isn't that undermined by the 2019 mineral report, that in fact this is viable and, you know, it suggests to me that the present intent versus the present intent plus one day after the permit is issued and we get going intent?
Well, the mineral report doesn't say that mining the minerals is viable. All it says is that there's various categories under Canadian law about what types of minerals are there, basically that are based on how much evidence you have about these minerals. I mean, you have to keep in mind that no one can see these minerals. You have to drill way down and you make inferences about what you pull up. And so it's a learning process for the company and for the public. It doesn't mean that there's actually a plan to extract the minerals.
But we went from it being speculative in the 2018 report to investors to having proven and probable reserves increased by 14% to 290 million tons, measured and indicated resources increased by 22% to 795 million tons, and the CEO saying, we continue to identify opportunities to optimize and deliver the project in the most economic way. So that's Judge Bjorkman's point, that's very probative evidence of what the intent was at the time in 2018 before the permit was issued, and whether or not PolyMet misled the PCA as to what its intent is. I mean, I understand that everyone has maintained that it's just going to be 32,000, but this suggests an ongoing intent to do otherwise.
I do not think that it suggests there's an intent to mine more than 32,000 tons per day. That is a incredibly aggressive reading of an announcement that says we have more resources in this category of certainty versus this other less certain category.
Well, do you agree it's less speculative in light of the 2019 drilling announcement?
I don't. The plans are speculative until they're... Let me put it this way. Knowing what resources are out there really doesn't say anything about a plan to mine those resources. It just means they exist. To actually mine them would take a lot more work and planning than what has happened to date. That's why the feasibility study has 240 pages talking about, well, how do we do this? What do you have to do to extract the minerals? You know, you have to make a plan, you have to engineer it, you have to study the environmental effects. There are measured and indicated resources all over the country under the ground that people know about. That doesn't mean that they're going to be mined anytime in the near future. It just means that they exist. You know, will maybe someday all these minerals be mined? I mean, I think we should all hope so, because we need them to actually supply copper and nickel for the green economy, you know, to build car batteries, to build windmills. But that's all speculation.
If it's the present intent of PolyMet to do that someday, at the time that the permit is applied for, or the renewal permit that Council spoke of is applied for, or if you're going to seek major source after you get your initial permit, that you would have to disclose that intent at that time?
I don't think that it makes much sense to talk about present intent to do something that has no planning involved whatsoever. You know, I think
you understand when you say it's a possibility, it creates a wave of fear, which is why we keep coming back here.
I think that's a fair way to put it. It creates a wave of fear, but that wave of fear exists regardless of whether these minerals are in the category of measured and indicated or proven improbable or whatever it is. The fear is that people don't want the mine to happen. And that's not how the regulatory process works. The regulatory process works by PolyMet working for years to develop a mining plan, 32,000 tons per day, submitting that plan for agency environmental review, and then ultimately agency approval, and then carrying out that plan. If PolyMet ever comes up with another plan, it will have to go through the same process again. But it doesn't have that plan, and it doesn't intend to expand the project.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate your argument. Coalition has the last word.
Thank you, Your Honors. I want to go back to a question you asked, Your Honor, about the decision by PCA to not start afresh. And that is an option that PCA had. And counsel for PCA explained that the question before you is whether or not the decision is based on substantial evidence. And so in MAPPA, the bumpers, if you will, that guide agency decision-making or confine agency decision-making is whether or not it is arbitrary and capricious. And the Minnesota Supreme Court in the Water case detailed what that means. And it said there that it does not have to be a violation of a state law or a state rule to be arbitrary and capricious. And so that kind of permeates the question as to whether or not PCA's decision should be affirmed. And so you absolutely can look at PCA's choice to not consider this evidence, to restrict its view to 2018 as evidence of arbitrary and capricious decision-making, as one of those danger signals that I would argue is littered throughout this case by PCA continuously ignoring this evidence.
What do you say to their argument that the 2019 drilling announcement, even if they had considered it, didn't amount to what you've argued, that it's still speculative, it's still not evidence of present intent, it's not a Pebble Mine recording of the executive saying we were lying to PCA all along? What's your response to that?
So I think you have to look at the 2019 drilling records in context with the technical report. And so the PCA said the technical report was speculative because of the certainty or the uncertainty of those mineral resources. And so that changed with the drilling records. And so, you know, is that a secret tape catching the executive saying, you know, we've tricked everyone, we're going to get a lot bigger? Absolutely not. But that is probative evidence that should raise the alarm of our regulator. You know, its job is to be an oversight authority that asks questions of an applicant when there is credible evidence presented that, you know, cast doubt on the assertions made in the permit application. And so we're not arguing here that there is always a hard and fast duty to investigate this intent, but on the facts presented here, there absolutely is a need for PCA to ask questions of the applicant to drive at this question of what its current intent is.
What other questions would you have them ask? What other investigation could be done to determine that this isn't a sham permit that would be prohibited under state law by essentially being a permit that was applied for under false pretenses?
I mean, PCA has broad investigatory power to ask a lot of questions of applicants. You know, they could ask things like, you know, give us more information about this drilling record, you know, any other drillings that you've done in the area, we want to see reasoning behind that or evidence of that. You know, questions of its executives, what did you mean by this, of looking to find opportunities to make more money? You know, more recently, what is this kind of merger that's going on, this joint venture, how does that play into your decision to operate a 32,000 tons per day mine? You talk about synergies and efficiencies. You know, how does that change now that we have multiple mining companies mining in the same general area? You know, those are questions that PCA could ask. It just elected not to. And so counsel for PCA says that there was no evidence that PolyMet has been misleading or deceptive throughout this case. And it's easy for them to say that because they never asked those questions. You know, until those questions have been asked, you can't be assured that the applicant has been truthful. When there's been credible, probative, substantiated, and specific evidence that challenges whether or not PolyMet's current intent is to abide by its synthetic miner permit. And I want to explain just real quickly with the minute I have left.
But again, you're not talking about compliance. We're talking about
correct.
The misrepresentation.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. And just real quick, I want to explain why this matters. You know, we talked for a moment about the major source amendment that PolyMet would need to go through if it did elect to increase its throughput rate. But this court recognized that the time to deal with this issue is now, at permitting. You know, the Clean Air Act is a pre-construction program. It's designed to address these issues before the facility is built. And so there are different considerations that may come into play when somebody is seeking an amendment versus if they come in the door at the first instance as a major source. And then more pragmatically, I mean, this is the classic case of wedging your foot in the door to crack it open and then come in later to swing it wide open. You know, as you pointed out, regulators may view an amendment to operate as a major source more favorably if they had been up and running as a synthetic miner source. And so that's why this matters. You know, this isn't just some abstract problem that we're coming up with that, you know, this major source amendment can rectify. That's not the case here. So we ask for this court to remand the decision to PCA with instructions to engage in its normal permitting practice, to ask questions, to explore this probative evidence, and to make a decision that is based on substantial evidence. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you to all parties for appearing today. The matters are deemed submitted. A decision will be issued in the 90-day statutory time frame. The matters, of course, were well briefed, and the arguments are helpful to us today. That is the last matter that the appeals court has on its oral argument calendar. We will stand in adjournment.
All rise.